Good evening and welcome to the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors meeting. At this time, I'd like to call this meeting order. If you all rise and pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
President Steele?
Here.
Vice President Theis?
Here.
Director Graves? Is not here. Director Lee? Not here. Director Simon?
Here.
Thank you very much. At this time, we'll open public comments. Public comments are limited to a 3-minute time limit. The public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time that the item is before the board for consideration. If you wish to speak, please come to the podium inside of here, and all clarifying questions go through the chair. Hi, any public comment? All right, we will, I do have a request here, please.
Thank you. Good evening, President Steele and our board and staff. My name is Erica Rodriguez, and I'm the senior board representative for State Assembly Member Jim Frazier. And I wanted to thank everyone for the opportunity that we'll have next week here in Discovery Bay to bring representatives from the Contractor State Licensing Board, the U.S. Postal Inspector, the Contra Costa County Sheriff's Department, the Bureau of Automotive Repair, and the Department of Business Oversight, to inform the residents of Discovery Bay about mail fraud, scams, and other concerns, and how to protect themselves against crime. Well, we know that our seniors are the most targeted population, and that they're constantly committing new scams. In fact, we've been called since the alert has gone out. We've been called by residents of Discovery Bay asking for further information about how to avoid internet fraud, sharing some of the things that they've encountered, and in addition to car theft that we know that has been in all the rising areas. So we thank you for the opportunity to bring this information to the residents. And again, just wanted to let you know that it is September 24th, next Wednesday from 1 to 3 here at the Discovery Bay Community Center. We thank you for the opportunity, and we hope that it'll be useful to the community. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have that on our website. Put that data something tied into the website somewhere.
I can put it on.
Yeah.
Awesome. Any other public comment? At this time, we'll close public comment. We'll move on to item C, presentations. No presentations tonight. Any director's comments? We'll talk about it later. I just want to recognize the loss of our lifeguard in the Town of Discovery Bay over Labor Day weekend, Sharon Butler, and just want to acknowledge her family and the loss and be sharing that today. Thank you. Director Graves, any updates, comments?
Nope. Sorry I'm late. Yeah. I was dancing in the rain.
Well, it's a good thing to do.
All right, at this time we'll move and close item D. Moving on to item E, consent calendar.
Kevin.
Move approval.
Kevin.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Moving on to item F, business and action items. Item 1, Odyssey of the Mind Teams utilizing Community Center through March 2016.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. This item is coming before you this evening at a request of one of the team coaches from one of the Odyssey of the Mines teams. As you've been made aware of in the past, Odyssey of the Mines is a program from kindergarten through college. It's independent from the school district and from its regular curriculum. Individual teams work with coaches, generally parent coaches, to solve problems, predefined problems, and present their solution at a competition at the end of their season. The parent coaches of Odyssey of the Mines, at least four of the teams, I believe the four are from Discovery Bay Elementary School, all four of them, have requested the use of the Discovery Bay Discovery Room, which is the classroom, here at the community center on Thursdays from 3 to 5 through March 2016. Generally, the rental fee for a program like that would be approximately $4,800. The Odyssey and the Lions coaches have requested that for those four teams that the district waive those fees in exchange for sponsorship to their for their program. Since this has made its way to the agenda, I just want to give the board a little bit of an update. We have received requests from other Odyssey and Lions teams as well to use the community center, as well as the PTA. Evidently, to use classrooms at the school requires some form of background checks and training and thing along that nature, certain tests that have to be taken, blood tests and things like that. And so it's a little bit more cumbersome to host those types of events and training programs at the school since they are independent of the school district. So I know that Amanda Dove is here before you this evening and she's gonna probably say a few words, but staff is looking for direction as to where you would like to move this forward. Thank you.
Of course, you already know these things. You've seen us a few times.
Thanks.
Well, I think she's going to want. She's going to want one. It's all. I don't need. I'm good.
Thank you, directors and staff, for having me here this evening to talk about Odyssey of the Mind and for considering us for use of the discovery room here. Last year, that was so perfect to have that room available. We used it 5 days a week for 1 hour after school each day, five different teams. And we included the town logo on our shirts, and it was so great to have the sponsor to be able to do that. Because we had that room there, two of the teams that were in that room had first place wins over at our regional competition, and two of them went to California State Finals. And so sometimes it's just about having a place. We have a team right now at Excelsior that's looking for a place, so we used to be able to use rooms over there, but now those are being residential charter school. And having the space like that is to build and to have ideas and to use the board there. We have a nice dry erase board in here. It's a great way for kids to brainstorm. And with our Excelsior team, those are, we have a lot of kids there that don't have garages. And so there's our families that were, they don't have a place. Like, my team needs my garage, but that's where we can meet. But some families just don't have that. They have carports or they're in the condos and like that, where they just don't have space. So the few teams that do need to find space really have great value, find great value in the discovery room here. While we don't have the budget to obviously come up with $4,800 for fees for the season, we would be interested in possibly providing a community service project here at the community center, maybe something we could do at Earth Day, or maybe something where we could do something with the gardening or fixing something where that's something we do with the Lions. The Lions Club is one of our sponsors, and in turn, we participate with them on special kids' days and for Oktoberfest and their concerts and help them set up and do those things. And maybe that's something that we could provide. We have 140 kids that and parents that participate. And so maybe that's something we can consider in lieu of those fees.
I mean, how many groups actually are there?
There is actually, as of today, 20 teams of seven.
In our community?
And yes, just in our community. That's at Discovery Bay Elementary, Timber Point, Almas Children, Excelsior Middle School, and we have one team that's moved up into ninth grade, and under Liberty.
Because I think my question is obviously that we're not going to see 20 teams of seven.
Nope, we only have five teams that are in search of a room.
So that was my question. You have five teams of seven, 4 days a week for how many weeks?
Until March 5th, which is our competition.
Starting when? Never started. Right now.
Right
now. We've already been pending board input on this, but I authorized them to go ahead and start meeting about 2-3 weeks ago. Knowing that this would come before you. So they've already been going and they've been working towards their goals. So.
Yeah. It's the only concern I think it's a great program, and you know, I think rooms like that are what we're here for. The only concern I have is, Manager Howard just mentioned that we might be getting some requests from PTA and other organizations. Like,
right.
If we have, we agree to say a sponsorship kind of a thing
for one group and not another group.
Not another, and pretty soon we don't have any room to rent.
Right. That's why I was hoping that maybe if we did some sort of service project, that would be something that another group could provide.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I would be supportive of that, but part of the board's thoughts about how do we handle the success of the community center, and what do we do?
What are the hours that you need?
So basically, 3:35.
Oh, okay. And these guys are like, what is it, junior high or junior high and elementary, right?
Right now we have first grade through ninth grade, but the students that would be using this would be second, third, fourth.
That's what we need to start looking at before making a decision, because you are going to be, I mean, I'm absolutely in favor, we're in favor of the last year we did, but I think what you're saying is very true, because you're going to have other organizations say, wait, you did it for them, you got to do it for us.
Yes, I don't think we could make that decision this evening. I think maybe we could direct staff to think through that a little bit and bring us something back. I would agree, if there's more approval, that this particular case, because they've come before us and they've offered, we've got 100 some people to come down and volunteer some time to do some work around here, and we'd have to allow staff to do that in lieu of it to be a trade with a gift of public funds.
After school project or Saturday project or something.
Whatever, let staff work that out, but we could go ahead and
kind of a suggestion.
Sure.
Why don't we allow them in? Meanwhile, why don't we allow them temporarily to go ahead with it while we discuss how we want to resolve this?
All right. Okay.
How many weeks, men?
All the way from March.
It's all the way from March 5th.
6 months.
Not including school breaks. 25. Right now, there's nothing on the community and the activity guide that we'll be using that during that time.
Okay.
And so it doesn't conflict with anything we have on the fall winter program.
In the event something does book for that, we would relocate you to a different location in the facility.
Sure.
If it was going to run out for something, for another purpose or some other type of an event. Yeah.
Of course.
I don't think any of us have a problem with you doing it. I think we just wanted to do this where we're not slighting somebody else.
Right? Oh, absolutely. I can absolutely see another group coming in and providing here for them, not for us. And that's why I came in thinking, what can we do for you to make this a value added thing to have us here?
That's good. You know, the afternoon hours are good. That 3:30 to 5 is kind of a prime time for kids that are, you know, out of school and have, and it's a good activity, so.
It is a good activity. You know, two of our teams this past weekend filled a couple of U-Hauls to take out to the fire victims. You know, that's obviously my teams that organized the community camp out this year. And, you know, they obviously, you know, so we participate in give back activities, you know, definitely more than just an academic competition.
Yeah, I think, Greg, we should explore some more options with us, and I think we should just let them use it right now until unless somebody has a rental and you need to change the schedule or something.
So do you want me to return on the October 7th meeting with a more formal approach and work with maybe some of the parent coaches and what they would like to do in exchange for that?
Right, and then also a longer term community.
Right.
And then give us an idea of who else is talking about wanting to use it. I
just heard anecdotally that two other groups have come in. I'm not sure if it's one other or two other Odyssey Mine for the Mine kids.
Right, it's still part of the five I was talking about. They just weren't sure who to talk to, whether it was Monica or me.
Okay.
And so it's still the same five.
And then one of the school board members has requested the same use for PTA meetings. I'm not sure what that is because it hasn't come down formally.
The library's not available anymore for the schools.
So when did they not have PTA meetings at the school?
All right, moving on to item 2, sewer easement from the Discovery Country Club Homeowners Association of the Town of Discovery.
Again, thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. This item is before you this evening due to the fact that Discovery Bay Country Club Homeowners Association would like to relocate their guard house off of Clubhouse Drive at the entrance right off Discovery Boulevard, further to the east and a little bit to the north, thereby creating two travel lanes into the community, one exit lane, as well as providing additional stacking room for vehicles so they don't stack up and back up on Discovery Boulevard. That's all fine with us. We don't have any issues with that, other than the fact that the new guardhouse would be sitting partially on top of one of our sewer lines in that area. And the concern would be that if we ever needed we ever had a sewer line problem in that location, to tear the sewer line up and cut it up and tear up the street, the building's going to come down as well. Which the HOA has indicated that they would be willing to accept that liability and that responsibility. The district would not be any responsibility of rebuilding it. And I will let Rod, because he's been dealing with the HOA's counsel on that, kind of go over the fine points of the, it's actually an easement agreement, it's pretty straightforward. And you have it before you. It's changed a little bit from what was in the agenda packet. There was some last minute wordsmithing that was taking place this afternoon. So you have it right there in front of you.
It's actually changed quite a bit. You can ignore the agenda or the item in your agenda packet, and the item that's before you is the single two-page document indicated by agreement affecting real property. And it's been identified as an amendment to grant of easement. Legal counsel had it for a period of time, and I thought the agreement that you had in your packet was going to be acceptable. She just wanted to make it more simple. They drafted the original one, we made some changes to it, and today at the 11th hour, they wanted to redraft the entire document. It's very simple, it's straightforward. The recitals are just that. They're recitals telling you where the easement is and what the purpose is. The item that you need to be concerned with is item one. Item one is an amendment or a modification to the maintenance of improvements. And item one, by statute under the Public Utilities Code, anybody, any agency, any entity that owns a public utility easement has the responsibility of any time they dig up their own utilities to do repair, replacement, maintenance on those utilities, have to replace the surface landscaping area in and around the public utility easement. Paragraph one modifies that section to limit your responsibility for repairing and affecting damaged roads and or landscaping to only have that responsibility on you. So you would only be responsible for the normal things that you're responsible for under a public utility easement, and that's the roadway, the pipe itself, the dirt, compaction, and landscaping. As they're recognizing that they are placing a structure of their choosing on top of the easement, you'll see that the last sentence clearly says that it is exclusively responsible for any damage caused to the improvement in conjunction with Town of Discovery Bay's work. So they're responsible for replacing the guard shack should it need to be removed or relocated or damaged as a result of our work on those easements. Fairly straightforward, very simple. It doesn't really change anything. We're accommodating them and trying to help out.
I'm assuming you're comfortable with the new language?
Absolutely.
I have to say, moving the guard shack is actually a great idea.
Yeah,
I can remember coming down to Discovery Boulevard at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and lined up around the corner. It would be a great idea. That's really no problem.
Anybody from the association here to speak? Tell us about your project.
Say it again, please.
Yeah, can you tell us who you are and your project?
Well, my name is Walter Shiboloff. I'm the president of the HOA. We've been working on this project for about 2 years and working with an engineer and an architect to alleviate the problem that was town manager has outlined. Is basically that we have no ability to stack any cars. We've increased the ability, our ability to apply security upon entrance in terms of checking people's IDs and where they're going and stuff like that, which has caused even more stacking of cars beyond the normal problem that was still out of the Discovery Bay Boulevard. This is a project basically to alleviate that. We have stacking lanes for 10 cars in the guest lane and then 10 cars in the resident lane, really rarely a problem, but we go through an extensive process of IDing who the person is, where they're going, making sure that they're on the guest list or they're just a visitor, and getting approval from the homeowner to allow the person into the development. So it's pretty straightforward. We ran across a problem when we proposed to relocate the guard shack, that it was very, very close to your sewer line, and which obviously is a concern to you all. We're hoping you get the easement, so.
What's the time frame for getting this done?
See, yeah.
The time frame for getting this completed?
Well, we've been working on it 2 years, and we were hoping to be able to beat the rains, but this has kind of pushed us back, because we still have to bid the contract and all that, so it's, realistically, it's probably going to happen next spring.
It appears the homeowner association has no problem with the new easement wording.
If our council says it's okay, it's okay.
This did come directly from their council today.
All right. I move approval.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you very much.
Thank you, Walter.
On to item 3, pre-annexation agreements.
Thank you, Mr. President. I say that with the utmost excitement to get this item behind us. These are 2 pre-annexation agreements between the town of Discovery Bay independently with Newport Point, Discovery Bay Partners LLC, and a separate agreement with Pantages at Discovery Bay LLC. To effectuate future annexation of those projects within the town of Discovery Bay boundaries. As the board is aware, we've been working on these agreements on and off for the last probably year and a half or so, and they seem to gain steam every now and then, and they lose some steam as they get back and forth between the different parties. But the nice thing about this is we were able to reach an agreement. Both parties are here this evening, both Mark Armstrong with Pantages and Tom Koch with Newport Point. We worked very closely together, worked very well together. Both parties funded their proportionate costs of their pre-annexation agreements. So this was done at their expense. And both agreements are essentially very, very similar in nature. And what I'm going to ask you to do here is, I get my mouse to move real quickly. We'll go to Pantages first. Get a load here. There we go. So both agreements are very similar in their basic terms. Each project is a little bit different, and therefore there are some nuances with each of the projects that are distinct to them. And if you would go down to page 53 of the agenda packet, 53 of 103. For Pantages, the basic terms are that the developer will pay all fees in place at the time that the projects move forward. In the event that the projects are not ready to move forward within a 7-year time frame, the developer will then either relinquish all their sewer and water capacity that we have provided to them pursuant to this agreement, or they can pay 100% of the actual development fees in place at the time, 7 years hence. There is an escape clause in there for both the developer and the board, a future board, that within 180 days, the expiration of the agreement, the developer can in writing come back to this board and request an extension of that 7-year time frame. The reason we did that was the thought in the event that the economy were to come to a slowdown in the future within that time frame, number one, and number two, if the project just wasn't quite ready to go at the time, but yet they were making progress and making headway, and it didn't seem to be appropriate to put handcuffs on them at that point in time. So the idea would be that they would be able to go ahead and pay for all their units at that point in time, water and sewer fees at that point in time, at the fees that are in place at the time. If they don't pay those fees, if they pay the fees, and for example, another year goes by, and the fees have gone up, they would also have to be, they would also be responsible for paying the additional difference in the fees. That's basically the agreement. And there's a whole lot of boilerplate and mumbo-jumbo in here. I shouldn't say mumbo-jumbo, it's not a very good choice of words. But there's a lot of boilerplate and contractual language in here that protects both the district as well as the property owners. What's different between the two agreements is that Cantagis has agreed to and has come before this board in prior years and has consented to the payment of the $2,500 per unit contribution to the community center project for the community center. In addition, since you can see the open space to the right of the left, I'm sorry, to the left of the plan layout there, that's all behind gates. And initially, the initial thought was that the town would be responsible for maintaining those wetlands areas and open space areas. After a lot of discussion and a lot of conversation, we determined and Cantagis also agreed that it seemed to make more sense that Rec 800, since there's walkways and there's water access to those, that Cantagis would enter into an agreement with Rec 800 where they would be responsible for that. So the town would not be responsible for anything outside the gates of the community. Both projects would be responsible for creating an HOA pursuant to all the rules that are required by the state on that with respect to the California Government Code and real estate codes.
Has Rec 800 agreed to maintain that property?
Yes. In concept, not formally.
Yeah, this is our agreement, and then Rec 800, they have a parallel agreement going with them.
Rec 800 says no to that proposal, then what happens?
We'll probably come back and renegotiate the agreement with them. The HOA is going to end up paying for the maintenance in there, regardless of who is responsible for maintaining it. Just something that personally I felt it was more Rec 800's responsibility more so than what ours would be behind private gates.
Well, that's one of my questions. If Rec 800 says no, then shouldn't we have it in writing there in the event that they say no, it'll fall on homeowners association?
Mark has been in conversation with Rec 800 on that, and I have not been part of that conversation.
No, but that's not my question.
I understand the question.
Ourselves.
Yes.
Because we're about to sign an agreement, vote on an agreement. To me, if Rec 800 says no to this proposal, and we don't want to be responsible for it, should it not be in writing that the homeowners association will take care of it?
Well, one of the things I'm going to ask you at the end of the discussion is that any non-substantive changes, because there's a couple of them that we've already picked up on in the last couple of days. We want to go in and just make some tight, minor changes together. And if that's the board direction, we can certainly add that. And Rod has just indicated that would be a simple change to relatively straightforward change to add into it.
If I might, so they've got a couple of outs in here. One, a conservancy agency could take over that and they could be responsible for it. But I think it's most important to note that if you look at item 3J on the agreement, it clearly states, in no event shall Town of Discovery Bay be responsible to own, maintain, operate any of the facilities or locations described in either one of the sections above. So what we've done with this is kind of said, okay, we understand you're working with Rec 800. We understand that there's another conservation group out there that may take over. There may be some fish and game permits, or maybe U.S. Fish and Wildlife permits, or maybe some of those issues that they have to deal with. Regardless of how they figured out, it's their problem and the homeowners association problem and the developer's problem. In no event will it ever become Town of Discovery Bay's problem. So what we've done is, rather than say, hey, let's try to get all of those things in line before we execute the agreement, let's make sure we've got a clear out that clears Discovery Bay from any responsibility associated with it. So how they handle it, their own problem.
I have no problem with that. The opening of the discussion started with we were going to maintain it, and then we decided it would be better for Rec 800.
That's correct.
So if we were never going to maintain it in the first place, I want to make sure it's not in that document that says we're going to maintain it.
A year and a half ago, there was discussion that we would maintain it, and we moved off that
subject.
in this agreement, so it's not included in there, so we're not in this one necessarily.
Nothing in this agreement covers the history that Rick's just given you. Nothing identifies that at one point in time we thought we would, then we decided we wouldn't, then we thought we might, then they found other entities. So none of that covers it. That's why I point out the specific sentence in it. In no event shall Town of Discovery Bay be responsible for that.
The other question I have, you said that the two agreements are different. What's different than the other one?
Well, that's basically it. It's the $2,500 to the community center. It's the
wetland area.
The wetland area with Rec 800.
So why are we not asking for $2,500 for that? Why are we only asking for that? I'm just asking.
Yeah, that was a discussion point that we had with them, and it's a much smaller project. 67 units. They are, as part of their development agreement with the county, they have to pay certain parking fees and that sort of thing, so we'll be getting those fees. We'll also be getting for Vantages.
We will be. Should this be a board decision before we decide to charge one?
This is absolutely your decision. There's no question about it.
I mean, I don't think it's fair to take. We're telling Vantages they're going to pay $2,500, plus they're going to wipe Kellogg Creek. I mean, they're spending far more money than Newport Point is spending. And I don't see any reason to charge them $2,500 and charge Newport Point nothing.
Was that a discussion factor? Was that just a in-kind, here, we want to be good community partners, and they volunteered to do that? Or how did that $2,500 come from?
The $2,500 came out a couple of years, well, probably 3 or 4 years ago now. Mark Armstrong with Vantages came before the board at the time and was pushing his project through the development process and wants to make sure that they're part of the community, and therefore they knew that the limitations we had with our financing for the community center, that they would like to contribute the $2,500. It was something that they offered and we accepted. And it made its way into the agreement.
How many units is in the current project?
292, Mark?
292. Pretty good chunk of change. Yeah, I don't disagree with Mark's comments, but I have no history on or any of that, so I don't know how at this particular date we get there. Maybe there's another. This is just the beginning of the process. So both these developments will be back in front of us a couple more times, or not. This will be once. No, I know this.
This will be the pre-annexation agreement. There still may be some items when this is the agreement that we enter into with the developer. Then the developer takes this agreement and goes to LAFCO and says, we have essentially a will serve letter from the Town of Discovery Bay, and these are the terms that condition the will serve letter. And so that, if LAFCO makes changes to that or wants some amendments to that, then that might come back. But at this point in time, they would not be coming back unless there's some modifications to this agreement.
Right, so they would go at this particular point, if we approve this, LAFCO approves it, they're on to the county to get permits to start the process. So any type of negotiation along this line is pretty well finished.
That's correct. The only way you're going to have a input into it as you get the notices coming out of the county and or coming out of LAFCO. And you know how we handle those usually. I mean, it's a letter and comment, and we ask them to do something, but you don't have any leverage, you don't have any push.
Right.
This is the tool, and once they've got this, they're ready to move forward and start pulling permits and getting the rest of their entitlements.
Yeah, I think I tend to lean with Mark a little bit, but it's a little bit frustrating at this late date to consider it. I didn't know this generous offer was in there. I think it is a generous offer. And I also understand that this is a more high-end property project, so there's a little bit more dollars coming in that you can use. I have no idea the values of the other project.
Well, I got a little bit of input into that just from the prior history that's gone back 2 or 3 years from working on this, at least on working on this project. Originally, the project was slated to be about about 25% larger than it was, and then the number of lots was reduced. As everything was adjusted with regards to how many lots for the amount of property that was being developed and everything else, the price point has definitely changed on the project. And as you pointed out, Bill, the Pantages project has a lot of waterfront properties, and it's going to have water access. It's going to have deep water access. There's the margins are not similar at all between the two projects.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't expect $2,500 per unit. All I'm saying, maybe there's something there. I have no idea. I don't want to be.
This was the $2,500 per unit was included in this agreement so that it was memorialized.
Yeah, that's fine.
There was a memorialization of their offer to do that.
Yeah, that's fine. I have no problem with the Pantages at all. I'm only specifically looking at the Newport project from the standpoint that we've got two developments here. One is helping the community, and Newport Group is going to help the community too in some other ways, but there's the actual donation, the contribution to the community center from Pantages is great. I wish there was a discussion of somehow, of some amount, of some way, that the Newport Group would be able to contribute to a little bit, some way, somehow. That's my only
thing. I don't see a reason why they shouldn't. I'm looking at Pantages, they're going to put in the sheriff's dock, they're putting in their white, they're going to cost a fortune of white man. They're putting a lot of money.
Right.
And a very small part of theirs is one question. Most of theirs is dry ground. And I'm looking at
the Newport.
No, Pantages. There's a very small part of the Pantages. How many houses are on Newport?
111.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, so the other half is dry ground. And I mean, I don't think, I mean, to me, it's not asking a ton. I mean, when Newport Point first came in, they were offering dog press, whatever it was, they reneged on everything they offered when they came in. And I don't think they should pay a dime less than Pantages is paying. You want to build here, that's what it costs to build.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't know how some of the other board members do.
Yeah, there's been a lot of history on this, and I think this is a reasonable annexation. I wish there was some more room in there for the community center on the Newport project. I know there was a lot of give and take a long time ago on that, and some opportunities missed, but I think these are both good projects.
The monies that were to be contributed towards what was in the original development plan, which included a dog park and a beach park, those funds are coming back to us separately. That's a separate item. Those monies, and I don't recall off the top of my head what that dollar amount was, but those monies are coming back to us in a separate. This board adopted an agreement with them, with the county, probably a year ago, that included that. It removed the inclusion of the dog park in the project. However, it included the funds that would be used to build it stay in the community. So there is a little, and that's part of the county development plan. That's not part of this agreement.
Is that the park dedication one you're talking about?
No, the park dedication is completely separate.
But the funds you're talking about would pass through the county and back to the town of Discovery Bay as part of.
Correct. Correct.
And there is some
yes.
Well, on another subject, both of them, I believe when you read through this, both of them were required to form their own HOA.
Correct. Okay. And I do know that both representatives are in the audience.
Any comment in the audience?
Tom,
sure.
Thank you all. President Steele, members of the board, I'm Tom Kosh. I'm part of the team on the Newport Point. And as first, I want to just rise and appreciate the efforts that Mr. Howard has made in this process, and the various others on staff. And from a developer standpoint, you walk into a small project like this, in this case, 7 years ago, thinking, well, this will be easy. these things go by quickly because they're so small. Well, that never works out. It's actually to be the other way around. In the land use process that was concluded on the local county in June of 2013, so a little more than 2 years ago, to the record pieces questions, our original plan, based on input from the community, was to have the dog park. Back and forth was had with Rick and others in the community, neighbors, and the conclusion was the resources that would go for the implementation of that could be better used and aggregated in the wisdom of the district as you provide your parks and recreation facilities as part of your charges to your organization, as opposed to having a separate unit. So there was a value there. Supervisor Pivo, who of course is for districts, sort of led the discussion at the board level. And so conditions of approval were established by agreement through the entitlement process to provide those funds in addition to the monies that also are being provided as part of the standard fee structure the county imposes. There was no reneging of anything. There was a change in the process that we went through based upon community input. So we are paying funds differently than Pantages, but funds above and beyond that which would be required in the moment.
I got to go up a little bit. Can you just share with us that dog park?
I don't know the exact number. It's probably I'm guessing it's in 150,000.
I would call it like between 120 and 140.
Somewhere in there. I apologize, sir, because I don't know exactly.
Somewhere else.
Yeah. It's about the same number per unit if you do the math. We have 67 lots in our project. So it's not as if we're getting a discount or something like that. That's gather the concern of members.
Yeah, I was unaware that those numbers were there. I'm happy with that.
I just to clarify.
Can I add one more thing, if I may, Mr. President? Rod just brought to my attention, reminded me, both projects are also, pursuant to this agreement, will be bringing forward a separate recreation district umbrella over their project. So they will also be contributing their once the homes are built, there will be an assessment on their property taxes. 218 type assessment like we have over in Ravenswood that would assist the community at large that would come out. So it's not like they're moving in and they get off and they're not going to be contributing because every other development on that side of town is in a zone and they contribute. Where over here, it's part of the property tax, part of the 1%, so it's in zone 8. So they are also going to be required to contribute that as well.
So those concerns were raised during the land use process. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Close public comment.
Mark,
sorry.
I'm Mark Armstrong, on behalf of Pantages. Also appreciate the efforts while in this process, as well as project approved for the process. We saw the modified projects on the screen and the Board of Boards projects next Tuesday. The community center commitment is the one that was made early on in the process. It's the same dollar amount as for Ravenswood, and it is a similar contribution.
Thank you.
I'd move staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. Three.
Aye.
Thank you. I do want to thank, I know it's been a long process, Tom and Mark, and working with you guys on this project and getting this agreement done, I think will be a much better project because of it. And I just want to thank you and your staffs and your patience as we went through the process, and Rod and his staff as well. Virgil participated in it, as did Greg Harris, Dean of Wright's team, and pretty much everybody involved did a lot of work on this. And so I want to thank everybody.
Well, thank you.
But when did
I know each project's going to come on its own, but just approximately, when do you, assuming everything goes through, when do you think you'd break ground?
We're a little further along the land use process. As I said, the county approved the zoning document and map in the summer of 2013. The federal processes and other regulatory steps are nightmare. The best case scenario from our perspective, direct release, would be summer of 2017. That's the first house go up there, but no sooner than that, probably. It's almost never, it never goes the way you think it might. So there or after.
Okay, I'm just trying to get the sense, because we're going to ask in public about some sort of a reasonable answer.
We're at least 2 years away from the actual house.
I would give the same answer.
All right.
Thank you for that information. All right, we're moving on to informational items. No action.
If I may, real quickly, President Steele attended the LAFCO meeting last week, and I was invited to make a presentation. I included that presentation in your agenda packet this evening, so you can go ahead and take a look at that. It had to do with our water conservation efforts today, and I think President Steele can attest to you. I think they were fairly receptive, and were happy with the presentation was made.
Yeah, it was a good presentation, Rick. I had some good questions, and we had some great answers there, so thank you for that.
The other item is just a copy of a CSDA magazine article that was published in the last month's issue. Their conference that starts next week is focusing on cyber issues. And when they found out about our data, our breach, if you will, or what happened to us with that CryptoLocker back in April, they asked me to go ahead and throw something together and explain what happened. And so let's copy that for you as well.
Item H, Veolia report, please.
You didn't there, you don't have one. You forgot it.
It's right there.
I know, I got it up for you.
You have a picture?
Nope.
All right, did you come unprepared the night, Bernie?
I'm prepared. You don't have to
swing at him.
I have a click. I have the clicker, but it won't.
Won't click it?
I don't need to work for this. Yeah, no, because it's not
a PowerPoint.
This is a PowerPoint. This is part of the agenda pack that I brought up.
You just don't want your part of the parking lot.
Oh, thanks.
So with our PowerPoint I had is wall somewhere, so we'll go off our sheet here. Continuing our safe practices. This month, August, as you know, the new project, secondary project, is coming to an end. And we have training on the new ox ditches and new clarifiers. And as we speak, we put the new ox ditch online today, and it is currently filling. Next meeting, we'll have more on that, put the new stuff on process, coming online. All monthly reports were submitted on time to the state. Water production for the month of August was 94 million. And we're down, we were around 36-37% on a reduction this time in 2013. So we still are reducing our water usage. One thing you'll notice on the bottom of the page, I put, as you know, at the treatment plant two, we put in a recycle booster pump station. And in the month of July, it's at the bottom of the page, Rick. We say we recycle 1.3 million gallons, and then the month of August, we recycle 1.9 million gallons of water. We normally would have took out a normal water, drinking water production, now is recycled water. So that project is paying off. All bacteria samples were non-detect. Laboratory for the wastewater were still way below our parameters. Doing very well. There were no violations in the month of August. No episodes, but we did have one this over Labor Day, which we'll discuss next month. And continue to maintain and take care of the maintenance and the assets. Very well.
Questions?
With respect to the SSO, the the spill did not get into the storm. It got into the storm drain. It did not. It was all collected before it went into the lake.
That's what you're probably.
It was approximately how many gallons?
150 gallons.
It was reportable.
It definitely reported, yes, but the waters did not go in. The spill did not go into the waters of the United States.
It was a Category 3, which is a minor spill. It was reported. Everything was contained, and we did get it cleaned up. We actually flushed the line out yesterday and did find more.
This was contractor debris.
Debris. There was some rocks. There was some paint. And we pulled out a lot of paint out yesterday when we went back and flushed the line. It was just the PVC pipe was filled with paint.
Rick, have we contacted the developer in writing?
Yes.
Somebody needs to be held responsible for.
Was there concrete in there too, or mortar from tile?
Well, it's grout. There was some grout powder that was formed, but it was all home buildings here.
The rocks are doing stuff. I see that that connectivity is just.
Yeah, it's picking it back up for some reason this year. We did very well last year.
Yeah, we were consistently below.
Yeah, but for the last couple of months, the numbers have been over our 2,100 for some reason. So hopefully it'll come back down, but it may creep it back up.
No idea?
No.
Virgil, nothing?
No, when I saw that number for August, I was pretty surprised about the jump as well, thinking that we have had, five, which was producing a lot of down for quite a while. The only thing I can think of is between the food we eat as human beings and the backwashing of the water softeners is contributing to that. The raw water that we produce and bring into the system is around 700 to 800. And so now you add that, we bring it up to 21. Average 21, which is pretty high.
Are we using less? Are we processing less water, and therefore the ratio would be off?
It could very well be. It could very well be.
Because our input number is
down.
Down. I noticed that in the report I saw earlier today that was sent to us.
1.1. We used to average
1.4. Yeah. So it's not diluting as much either, I guess, huh?
Right. And our input connectivity is about 2,500.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Bernie, why don't you give the board a real quick update of what's going to happen when the new Oxditch goes online and what you're going to do?
That went on today.
It did. What happens when what you're going to do with Flatline?
So currently, as we started transferring Oxditch to Oxstreet today, and as we started going over the weirs, and we're putting the new Clarifier 5 online, taking Clarifier 3 and 4 down, the older ones to be assessed and cleaned while they tie in. Another line, the last line after. But once the contractor gets the Oxditch number 2 cleaned and assessed, then we're going to start the process of transferring everything from plant 1 to plant 2 and shutting down plant 1. Because it just needs to be completely went through. It's 45 years old.
Assessed at the very least, right?
Assessed, the clarifiers need to be sandblasted and re-epoxied. The head works, all the coatings falling off, they need to be sandblasted and recoated. There's a lot of electrical work that needs to be there. In plant 1, the clarifiers have pump stations that have to pump the water to the clarifier, so that's additional energy where the plant 2 is not, so we can reduce our energy cost. And our flow is low enough that we don't need both facilities running. You should see some
Action
there.
The strangest feeling, but I have this big old smile on my face because I can't believe we've finally gotten to the point where we have this redundancy so we can finally, we're past the risk zone. We've been at risk for years here since I got on the board, just because, not anybody's fault, it's just because we didn't have the facilities to do it. And I got to tell you, man, I'm feeling really good about this.
So it's going to be very nice once we get the contractors done and things cleaned up. And it's going to be a very nice facility when you start showing up.
I thought I'd be excited about sewage, but
Thank
you. I'm a unique individual, Bill.
All right, thanks for the update, Bernie.
Thanks, Bernie.
Moving on to your manager's report.
I have one item I'd like to discuss with the board. If you need the calendar out, I appreciate that. I noted to you last week that we had a the training with respect to our emergency preparedness and in coordination with what's known as SEMS, Standard Emergency Management System, and NIMS is the federal partner to that. In order to be a recipient of federal funds in the event that there's a declared emergency and we have damage to our assets, we need to have a certified emergency plan in place. And you'll be getting a proposal at the next meeting for that. And what I would like to do is I would like to have the consultant that we had in that met with us last week come and give the board a presentation. He was excellent. He's been in the business for a long time, retired emergency preparedness with the city of, I believe it was Campbell. And our tabletop exercise was El Nino. And I think it would be really worthwhile for the board to spend about a half an hour with him, possibly before the next meeting on the 7th. And his contract, his proposed contract, the work plan will be on the next agenda. So it would be good. I think it would be nice if we could have him in and be able to provide that information for you. You could ask any questions. You get a better understanding how the program works and what our responsibilities are in making sure that we're compliant with the SEMS and NIMS requirements. So that when the big one does hit and when we get flooding this coming winter from the El Nino that we're expected to be getting, that if we do have damage to our assets, we would be able to get reimbursed for a significant portion of those funds through either the state or the feds, or a combination of both. So, meeting 7, if we can get him here at 6.
Do you want to call a special meeting?
Special meeting for just a workshop.
What six, that's on the 7th?
The 7th.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Okay. Great. Thank you so much. October.
All right. Thanks for the invitation.
All right, moving on, any other manager's reports, Rex? No? Okay. District legal report, please.
Yeah. Nothing further for me.
All right, thank you. Any committee updates?
Water, wastewater will not be meeting next week. We do have a meeting scheduled with the Parks and Rec Committee, I believe, following week. And I will be speaking with the Finance Committee to schedule something the following week as well.
All right, we got some correspondence here, Aviation Committee. Are any public records requests? All right. Any future agenda items?
Yeah, I have. I'd like to get an update on how we're proceeding with the, what is it called, the Hoffman package, if you will. It's kind of, we haven't spoken about it. We don't know quite where we are. We, my little bit is that we're putting this whole thing together, but I'd like to have some details on that prior to bringing it to
you. Today, I almost called him today.
Did you call
him?
They've been dragging their feet for some reason at this point, and I don't think it's intentional. I just think it's that they're busy. We need to stir the pot. I agree 100% with you. We need to stir the pot to get some input back in there, because they actually have the ball's kind of in their court with regards to the well over, you know.
Right, I'd like to kind of get a good feeling of where our side of the fish, what we know at this time, what
I agree.
Forward to and doing all that.
Yeah, we may need to move that to the following month. This would be a closed session item because this is under pending litigation. So there's litigation that surrounds it. So to give too much details in that, we've got to be careful.
Whatever you have to do it, but I think sooner the better for the board.
So October 21.
We don't have issues later.
You just add another item now.
October 7.
October 21. October 21.
I'm good.
You got to pick up my smart-ass comments quicker. Right. I got it. Okay.
I'd like to adjourn this meeting in honor of Sharon Butler and her service to the town Discovery Bay.